I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Over the last year, through my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. Over the next few weeks, I'll be talking to people who inspire me and people who I believe you, the listener, will benefit greatly by listening to. I'm so delighted to be joined today by my gorgeous mum, Siobhan, or Shivy, as she's better known.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Mum. Thank you so much. Obviously, you know, I've been doing this podcast for a while now, and I wanted to close season one. Okay. And I just felt like I wanted to close it with someone in my family. Obviously, you've been by my side my whole life, but especially over the last kind of year and a half with everything that's happened. So I'm so happy that you're here with me today just to, I suppose, talk about everything that happened with our family and how it affected us and maybe what advice you can give to others going through it. So I suppose we'll just start with the day that I found my lump. Like, you know, I was on maternity leave. I was getting ready to go back to work. We were all kind of just living our hectic lives and just minding Pia every day and figuring that all out, because obviously I'm the first child to have a baby in the family. So we were just so in love with her, weren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Just going back to that time now, it's very hard for me to talk about it. But we were having a great time. We were on you were on maternity leave, and we were going for walks every day. And we had Pia, and we were all besotted by Pia, and she was the life and soul of the house. And you know, our life was really good. I know everyone's life is not perfect, but you know, we were having a great time. And on the Wednesday, we'd been out shopping, me and you, and I think I bought Pia a cot for my house. And we went to bed that night, and my phone rang at 7:30. On the 5th of October 2017, at first thing in the morning, and I looked at the phone, and it was Georgie. And I just remember really quickly, within 2 seconds, saying to Joe, "Why is Georgie ringing me so early?" So I picked up the phone, and you said, "Hi, Mum," you know, and I thought to myself, "Oh, she sounds fine." You said, "Mum, look, I found a lump on my breast last night, and the doctor is seeing me immediately in an hour, so can I drop Pia in to see you, for you to mind her?" And that was the start of it. First thing I said was, "This can't be anything, you're breastfeeding. You know, women who are breastfeeding don't get breast cancer. This has to be a milk duct. It's nothing, you know." But anyway, we hung up, and you came down to the house.
And it was at this point that I, like, when I found my lump at 1:30 in the morning, and obviously I didn't want to ring you in the middle of the night. I know I could have, but I just didn't want everyone to panic. So, because like you, I was like, you know, maybe it's just something stupid, like, and I'll go to the GP and she will absolutely reassure me that it's nothing. But then when I showed Jamie the lump, so I found it and Jamie was sitting on the bed, I was like, "Oh my God, Jamie, feel this lump." And his look, the look on his face was the exact same look as was on your face when you felt it the next morning.
Yeah, of course, I was very alarmed. I was worried sick. But you went off to the GP. I minded Pia. Joe was there. I was running around the kitchen like a headless chicken. I didn't know what to think. I was up the walls, absolutely up the walls. You came home about an hour later, and I remember you saying to me that, well, the doctor got the lump to move, and that's a really good sign. So I thought, well, that's definitely going to be okay now. The lump moved. It's just a cyst. It's a benign tumour at the worst. So we kind of got through the week. Well, the next day was Friday, and then you start ringing around hospitals and you got seen to very quickly, and you went off on the Friday. And they kept you in too long that day, didn't they? And, you know, it was very worrying.
Yeah, I suppose that was the day that I feel like I knew that I had cancer. So I went to Beaumont Hospital, and they ruled out a cyst within the first 10 minutes and then asked me what my plans were for the day and told me to cancel them. I was supposed to be going to the radio awards in Kilkenny with all of my friends. So they sent me then for a mammogram and a biopsy. And I was getting no reassurance from anybody. I thought everyone looked really concerned. And that's when I really broke down in the hospital, in Beaumont Hospital. And this gorgeous lady came over with tea and biscuits. And like, I was just, I knew my life as I knew it would never be the same again, because I just, it was so serious and it was such a serious situation that I just, I told you guys all weekend, you know, you didn't see the look on the girl's face that was doing the biopsy. You didn't see the way she was looking at me, and everyone was like, no, it's, you got to stay positive. You got to stay positive. And of course, like, that's what you say to people. But then the night after was the worst night of my life. And what happened was I tried my best to just get on with the day. Myself and Jamie went down to Dundrum, picked up the dinner. And I remember looking at loads of people in Dundrum going like, they don't know. They don't know what I'm facing. And are they in a similar situation? And they just look normal too. And what's happened in their lives? And you just kind of like look at everything so differently. And I came home, and that all that week, like, I'd insisted on putting Pia to sleep because, like, I just wanted to be with her every second that I could. And she used to go asleep to that One Direction song, Perfect. And, like, the song was, that song was playing over and over again that Saturday night. And I remember afterwards, I just said, okay, well, I'll just Google breast cancer just to see what I'm up against if it is cancer. And I read something terrible. And I remember running out of the bedroom, like, Pia was asleep, and just like fell onto the floor in the hall. And Jamie was actually on the phone to his sister because we were just looking for reassurance in everyone. And Jamie just said to Julie, like, get up here, you have to come here now. And then he texted you and told you to come up, and then you and Julie arrived.
Well, when I arrived, Julie was in the sitting room, and I'd felt quite strong that afternoon. And, you know, I kept saying, you know, it's not going to be anything too serious. So I was sitting at home with Joe, and I just wanted to be with you every minute that I could be. But, you know, you were married, you had Jamie, you were putting your baby to bed. So I came home and I texted Jamie and I said, how is she today? Because I know you had a call from your GP that day, a couple of hours earlier. And I phoned, I texted Jamie and I said, how is she? And Jamie just said, she's not good, come up. And my heart, you know, I just said to Joe, I'll be back in a little while. And he said, I'll go with you. And I said, I'll just go on my own. So I flew up to you. We're only 5 minutes away. I flew up to you, came into the house. Julie is sitting there. Jamie has opened the door to me. And when I came into your sitting room and saw you, you were in an awful state. You were in an awful state. You had yourself dead and buried. You'd read something on Google. It was so, so difficult. I couldn't fall apart. I had to be strong. I wanted to fall apart there, but I couldn't. I just had to be really, really strong for you. And so we just talked to you. We said, you know, what you read in Google is just not what's happening to you. And we sat there for an hour and we talked to you, and you did. You calmed down within about 45 minutes. But that 45 minutes, I never want to go through again in my whole life.
Yeah, and I always say that, like, that night was worse than the day I was told I had cancer. Like, nothing has ever been as bad as that night. And I think that night we all switched from saying, it's you definitely don't have cancer, to, okay, well, if you do have cancer, yeah, you're going to be okay, and we'll, yeah, get the treatment, and we'll do everything we can. And that is definitely what I needed at that time. I needed people to acknowledge how I was feeling, that I believed that I had cancer, and I didn't need people to keep saying that I didn't.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, well, that's what we learned that night, and to listen to what you were saying and just face it and be honest. So, yes, for the next few days then, we were fearful that it was going to be... It took me a while to say the word breast cancer. I couldn't say it. So I would say, well, it's a malignant lump in your breast, or I just found it really, really difficult, you know, at that time to, you know, to try get my head around it as such.
Yeah, I definitely think that I was the first person to accept it in our family, in terms of, mm-hmm, like, it's weird. People who've been through it will probably know that you end up kind of being really strong, because, like, I just knew that if it was cancer that I'd fight it, and I knew that deep down that I would be okay. Then on the Tuesday, so that was the Saturday night, and then on the Tuesday at around 9:45 in the morning, you were in my house. I got a phone call from Beaumont Hospital, and they asked me to come in at 4:00 and to bring somebody with me. So that was, you know, more confirmation to me that it was going to be bad. But obviously I still held on to the hope that maybe it was a benign tumour and they just needed to explain maybe that they were doing surgery. And maybe if people are told they've benign tumours, they have a meltdown and need someone from their family there. So, still remaining strong, Jamie came home from work and we dropped Pia down to you and Joe. Joe's my stepdad, for those of you that don't know. And off we went to Beaumont Hospital, which is so far away from our house, because basically I rang around all the hospitals in Dublin when I found my lump, because I really, really wanted an appointment quickly. So that's where I ended up, and it was all meant to be. So when I got to Beaumont Hospital, they told me they needed to do a lymph node biopsy, which happened before I was told I had cancer. And then when I came out of that, they pulled me into a room and told me I had cancer. So Professor Arnie Hill was my surgeon. He's the man who told me I had cancer. And he was with a cancer liaison nurse. And Jamie was with me, and they handed me a leaflet, which I don't think I ever read. But I asked Professor Hill if I'd die, and he said it would be very unlikely. And that was so reassuring, because the odds were in my favour. And I am not the type of person to go off and, you know, ignore doctors or anything. I just said, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. But then I suppose it was just terrible, because they had to go and find out if the cancer had spread. So it just felt like I was never, I still was searching for answers every day. I still had so much anxiety, because at this point I still was like, maybe I'm riddled with cancer. Like, maybe it's everywhere. Like, what's that pain in my stomach? Like, is that cancer? You know, so that was another week of waiting.
The day of the diagnosis was a very difficult day. I was minding Pia. Joe took the day off. Michael was down. Sam was down. in the house, everyone was there. We were walking around the house. Everyone was just walking around in circles. Every time I'd look at Michael, he was up in the sitting room and Sam was down in the kitchen. And then they just kept walking around in circles. We were minding Pia. We were having great fun with her. But it went on for many hours. And I kept saying, oh God, they haven't called me yet. What is going on? Where are they? Why haven't they called me? So I was getting really anxious, really, really anxious as the hours went by. And I said, OK, well, obviously this takes time. I think Jamie sent me a text to say they were doing something else. So, I was pretty bad that day. But for Pia, we had to be really, really strong.
Like, that's when I was in the hospital. I was like, I can't just text my mum and say, Mum, I have cancer. Like, stand by for a phone call. Like, all this stuff was happening and I couldn't, number one, leave to tell you, and two, I couldn't text you. So it was about 2.5-3 hours that you guys were just waiting, which must have been hell on earth. But I came out of the hospital and I don't know, like, this, I did feel calm because I felt very reassured. They were like, you have cancer, but people get cancer and are fine, and this will be a year out of your life, and you will, you know, hopefully go on to have a family and everything will expand your family and things will go back to normal. So I was like, it's so weird when something like that happens. You're like, my life as I know it has changed entirely, and I have absolutely, like, no saying it. And it's so weird how, like, on a Wednesday you're worried about your post baby bod, and on a Thursday I'm wondering if I'm gonna die before my kid is two. So when I came home to the house, and, like, I just left and it was you, Joe and Pia, and I came back to our entire family. And my two brothers and Kira. And you guys were, I'll never forget it, walking into the kitchen. And I'd rang you in the car, which was the most difficult phone call I've ever made in my life. But I said to you, Mum, I have cancer, but it's okay.
Yeah, you made that call to me, and I jumped, my phone rang, and everybody jumped in the kitchen. And I said, okay, I'll go and take this call. And it was surreal because a whole calmness came over the call, and you just said, Mum, it is confirmed, I have breast cancer, but it's going to be okay. And you told me what the doctor said, and it's everything's going to be okay. It's a year out of your life. It's you know, we were very, very positive from that moment. So you said, look, I'll be home in a half an hour, can't wait to see Pia. So I put the phone down and I had to go into my boys, and Pia was up in Joe's arms, and they all just looked at me, and as if to say, I was going to, you know, they thought I was going to say, it's fine, everything's okay. And they just looked at me, and I said, Georgie has breast cancer. And it was very difficult, you know, and I couldn't process it in the start, you know, I was a complete wreck. And we were just like in shock, and there was not a lot we could do there and then. We were just happy that it was a lump and it was going to be taken out and she was going to get better and everything was going to be okay.
There was just like no other option, I suppose. It was just like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be fine, we're all going to go back to normal. But it was so weird, like, walking into the kitchen, I just felt it feels like such an inconvenience for everyone when you're like, Jesus. I went through the attention for a year of it being my wedding, and, you know, the whole family, all we talked about was the wedding. And then I was pregnant and all we talked about was my pregnancy. And then I had Pia and all we talked about was Pia. And then I was like, great, now I've cancer and we've to all stop our lives and deal with this now. But then a week later, it was the day of Storm Ophelia, and I was due to get the results to see if the cancer had spread. And the night before, I was in Jamie's brother's, Jason's, house with Jean and Julie and JP and Hazel, and we all had dinner together. And as I was walking out of the house, I turned around to Julie, who I'd been on the phone to like 5 times a day. And I was like, Julie, I just cannot take any more. I just need to know if the cancer has spread. And she was like, I can't look at you like this anymore. Like, you need, like, this. I can't bear to see you like this. And then myself and Jamie went home and put on the 9 o'clock news, and it was announced that all the hospital appointments were cancelled for the following day. And it just goes to show that just when you think you can't take any more, you actually can. And the next day, Jamie went to work, even though I think they said people shouldn't go to work. Jamie went to work and Joe went to work, and you came up to our house, and we just sat on the floor. I remember just playing with Pia, and I was like, Mum, I just can't deal with this. Like, on top of everything else, now I have to wait until I don't know when, because nobody is answering their phones. And then at 12 o'clock on the button, my phone started ringing on private number. And obviously, like, I'd been getting so many phone calls from different doctors and stuff like that. So I was like, I don't know what this is about, but I just had this feeling. So I went into my bedroom, and it was Professor Hill, and he said, I'm locked out of the hospital. But, or he was in a private clinic, so he was locked out of his private clinic. It was closed. And he said, I'm just going to give you the information that I have available right now. And he just said, nodes negative, CT scan clear, which meant my cancer hadn't spread to my lymph nodes and there was no sign of cancer anywhere else in my body. And at that moment, I felt like a gun had been pointed to my head, and all of a sudden it was taken away. And you and Pia then came into my bedroom, and I just gave you a thumbs up.
Yeah, it was an amazing day. It was a tough day. We were on lockdown with the storm. And I just kept praying, because that's all I do is pray, and I have a lot of faith. And I kept saying, please, please, God, help some call to come through today, because if it doesn't come through today, we've got to wait maybe till next Tuesday or another few days or whatever. So when the call came through, I just walked up and down with Pia, walked up and down, and it seemed like half an hour, but it was probably 4 minutes. And I was really trying to listen, but I couldn't hear anything. So when she came out, we were so overjoyed. We were truly, truly blessed that day. And we were so thankful and so grateful. And so we celebrated for the rest of the day, and everyone came up and we had tea, and it was just great. You know, you never know how strong you are until you've no choice but to be strong. And we got a lot of strength that day, so it was a super day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. Just that my surgery could go ahead, they could just get rid of the cancer, and then I'd go on to have chemotherapy and radiotherapy. And I suppose at this point we were still hopeful that I wouldn't lose my hair and stuff like that, but like none of that mattered at the time. I was just like, I would literally chop off my right arm like here and now for this cancer not to have spread. So I suppose from then the positivity really came into full effect in our family. And my brother Michael would call up, and he's a real deep thinker, isn't he, Mum?
Yeah, he's amazing, Michael. Michael, I'm very blessed with my kids, because not only are they all very, very funny, and they made us laugh through this whole thing, you know, and laughter is the best medicine. And they're a funny bunch, really. And Michael would be the counsellor. Joe is more, let's say, the logistics man.
Yeah.
You know, I would be at home, and maybe I wouldn't be great, and I would never want Georgie to see me when I wasn't in a good place. So when I'd be at home, you know, I couldn't be strong all the time. I had to deal with it. I had to process it. You know, Sam picked me up off the floor a couple of times, and he'd sit up and talk to me till late into the night, and he'd tell me, "Mom, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine." Michael would come down and he'd go, "Well, how are you?" and talk to us and counsel us. Joe'd be running around doing the washing, the ironing, cooking the dinners, being everything for everyone, really. He, you know, and he suffered himself in silence, but he would be just getting the job done. So that was really good. Great support from them. They were super. And I was lucky I could, you know, I was very lucky I could take time off work for as long as I wanted. I did a little bit in the background over the year, but I would just come up to Georgie every day and just do a bit of pottering around the house, a bit of ironing, a bit of washing. We'd go for a walk.
And you were in constant contact with Jamie, like behind my back,
well,
weren't you?
Yeah, I've talked about Sam, Michael and Joe, but Jamie kept me focused. Jamie kept saying to me, "Deal with the facts. Don't be getting over emotional." He taught me how to just focus, listen, and listen to what the doctor said, and just concentrate on that. And the facts were good, and he had it all out. Well, this is this, and it's going to be okay.
And that's, yeah, like when I'd, because we'd spend every day together and then you'd go home to the boys and I'd, obviously Jamie would come home from work and he used to just sit me on the couch and be like, "Arnie Hill said, it's very, like, you know, if I'd say, Jamie, what if I die and well, who's going to look after Pia and da 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 da, no one will love her like I do." And he'd say, "Georgie, the facts are, Arnie Hill said it's very unlikely that you're going to die."
Yeah.
He said, "This is all you have to do. You have to get the cancer removed. You have to do your chemotherapy, radiotherapy. Focus on the end goal. Jamie's mad into NFL. And this guy called Bill Belichick coaches the Patriots. And he always says, do your job." And Jamie kept saying that to me. "What do you have to do? Do this treatment. Focus on the end goal. We'll get through it. Like, yeah, this is crap right now. But in July, you know, you'll start to get your life back. And we just need to keep focusing on that." So that helped me so much. And I don't know how many times we were watching TV and I'd have to pause the TV and just say, "Jamie, like, I'm freaking out right now. I'm really worried. I'm so sorry." And then he'd start the whole thing again. But I just... And you did it during the day for me, the pep talks.
Yeah. Well, Jamie and I used to text each other at night when you were in bed, because we really did draw strength from each other and became, you know, very close over the year in helping each other through it. You know, underneath it all, he's such a big softy, and he was obviously worried sick, but he did look at it in a practical way and kept us all very focused.
You know. I think something that I probably haven't said to you before, Mum, I don't think I ever asked you or Jamie how you were, because I literally couldn't deal with the answer. Like, obviously, in the morning I'd go, "Hey, Mum, how are you?" And you'd go, "Yeah, I'm fine." But I never sat down and went, "No, like, how are you?" Because...
Yeah. Well, when I came up to you, I had to be very strong, and we all, you know, were very, very strong around you. But we did get a lot of our strength from you, because you were amazing through the whole thing, and you made me feel better so many times.
I suppose because I was with the doctors, and I, unfortunately, because you were minding Pia, you couldn't be there because Jamie always came with me. So you were relying on secondhand information. So I'd say, "Mum, no, you, Arnie Hill was like really positive. Like, he's really happy with how I'm doing." And it was hard for you not to be in those meetings, I think.
Yeah, I it was very hard for me not to go to those meetings because I'd be saying what went on. And of course, you didn't want to be going into every detail with me. But I did. I did. Jamie told me everything that was going on. And it was all, you know, it was fine. I was fine through all that.
I remember around the time I did a Instagram story about accepting help, because I think there's a certain part of me that, you know, wanted to do things for myself, but like I actually couldn't. And I remember I did a story and I said, you know, my family have been amazing and it's really important to accept help. And I went to the Beacon a couple of days later and this girl came up to me and she said that she watched my story and she realised that she had been pushing her mum away because she kept going, no, I'm fine, I can totally manage, everything's fine, I don't need your help. And she said watching that story made her realise that, oh my God, my mum must feel so rejected. So she had this conversation with her mum and they cried. And I just thought that was amazing, like to get that feedback, because, I mean, your family are there so much for everything that, like, I just hoped that you guys felt that, like, I appreciated everything that you did for me.
Oh gosh, of course we did. Yeah, absolutely. I think the hardest part of being a parent is watching your child going through something as difficult as this, and you're not able to fix it for them. You know, to all parents out there that may be going through something like this, it's not an easy path. It's the diagnosis that will turn your world upside down. You know, you have to watch your child go through chemotherapy, radiotherapy, surgeries, scans. It's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. You really want to do it yourself. You'd much prefer to go through it yourself than watch your child go through it. Watching them cry and be full of fear, it's really, really not an easy thing to do. You won't always be strong, but you have to be. But really and truly, though, when you get your, you know, when you get over the initial shock and you begin to get your head around it and you accept it, and we did accept it, you pull yourself together for your child. And at that time, that's when my strength came, and your strength will come. Mine came in abundance, because you have to do everything in your power for your child. Whatever it takes, you have to do. So we as a family, as I said, we got together and we did all the practical things, you know, helping with the meals, helping with the house, helping with obviously minding Pia. She was our little Baba, who was only 7 months old. And she was our priority at that time, you know, to make her life as normal as possible and to cherish and nourish her on a daily basis. And it was very, very difficult. But I would give advice to maybe parents going through this, things not to do.
Okay.
Things not to do. So don't be overpowering. Don't go to your child and say, oh, I think you should go to sleep now. Oh, did you not have a sleep yet? Are you not drinking your soup?
Mm-hmm.
Would you not go for a walk? Oh, don't do this. Or maybe you shouldn't do this. Or maybe you shouldn't do that. Just leave them be, because that will drive them crazy. They want life to be normal. I would just potter in the background and just potter and do a few things around without making it obvious, and sit down, have a cup of tea and have a chat with her. She just wants things to be normal. Go for a walk. And if they turn around to you and say, okay, Mum, Dad, I don't need you tomorrow. You know, don't bother coming up tomorrow. I'll be fine. And you go, okay, yeah, I want to actually go to the shops on my own. I want to make my own dinner. I want to potter around the house and do a few bits. I want to spend the day with Pia on my own. So I'll be fine. Don't come up. Everything will be okay. I'll be grand. You go off and have your own day and do what you want to do. And I used to think, well, no, she's doing that for me. She wants me to go off and have my own time. But no, she wanted, you wanted your own time. You wanted to do things for yourself. And on your good days, you did that. And what I would say to parents is, let them be. Let them do that if that's what they want to do. Let your child do that. And most importantly, don't take offence to it.
Mm.
You know, don't take offence. It's not about you.
Was there a moment where, like in the last couple of months, that you were like, okay, it's over?
I've never felt like that. You see, it's like firefighting. I've been a year of just, we've been running. It was just an emotional roller coaster that we got on, and we haven't got off it yet. I know you're going to be okay. I absolutely know in my heart and soul that you are going to be okay. But it's funny when it's over. I feel very insecure. I feel very sad. I feel the support I have had for me has been, the outpouring of support has been amazing. My family, my friends, my sister-in-laws, the phone calls I get every single day, obviously asking how you are, Georgie, and they've always been there. You know, how's Georgie? My brother Des, every day he called me. How is she? What's going on? Wants to know everything. But they ring, my sister knocks on my hall door with her husband and says, come on, we go out for something to eat. My brother calls me every single day and texts me at night, are you okay? In the early days, are you okay? You weren't too good today. How are you now? My friends have looked after me. They've minded me through all this. So, you know, the support has been unbelievable. We're in a better place, aren't we? But it's still a bit
shocking.
Yeah, I'm not myself.
I think it's just, we're just getting used to a new life. And it was my birthday yesterday, and I even found that to be like a difficult day. Like, it's just hard. You're just, your innocence is gone, or you're this kind of, you're just wary of life and a little bit scarred. And I'm in counselling, and apparently that does get better. And I'm learning loads of ways to deal with that. But I mean, when my scan was clear in November, like, that was extremely reassuring. Because my cancer had been removed before my treatment, I was already then 1 year cancer free, which was the best thing ever. My doctor has told me that I need to get to November 19 without a relapse, and then my chances of relapsing will dramatically decrease. So all we can do is get up every day and do our best and support each other and fully believe that this happened to me for a reason. I say it every day, my life has changed for the better in terms of every part of my life is better.
Yeah.
Like, my health, I feel better than I ever did. I have so much appreciation for all of us, and we've had amazing times as a family, even though it's been awful.
Yeah.
Like, we're so much closer now.
When this happens to a family, it gives great opportunity to really, if it's possible, to become closer. And we definitely have.
Even though we were so extremely close beforehand, I mean.
Yeah, it's like when this happens, it's like nothing other. It's a strange thing, but it's...
I think it's like
on a different level or something.
It's like... we all appreciate the good times more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when something good is happening, like, none of us take it. It's like a full-on group of people in a room that none of you are taking it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were just there for me every single day. And, you know, Jamie is my absolute soulmate, and I feel so lucky to have such amazing people around me. And... you know, we are, as you said, still struggling at times, like other families And it's not just cancer that, you know, can do this to a family. It's any illness or grief, or you just never think it's going to happen to your family, but it happened to us. And I fully believe that we made the best of it.
Never, ever in a million years did I ever think this would happen to you, ever. You have a lot of fight in you, Georgie. You're a fighter by nature. You were always like that as a child. You're a very independent girl growing up. Maybe this was put in your path for a reason.
That definitely helps me get through the days. And when I feel sad, I just go like, you know, this has happened for a reason and look at us now. And I just really wanted you to come on the last episode of season one because you're my best pal. You know that, but I wanted everyone else to know. And people always say to me, like, you're so strong. How are you so strong? Well, one of the reasons I'm so strong is my mum. Another reason is Jamie. Another reason is Joe. Another reason is Sam. Another reason is Michael. Another reason is Kira. And Pia and Finn are little ones. Like, thank you. I'll never be able to thank you enough. But I'm just so proud of us all. And I love you so much.
You're going to live a very long and healthy life. And I'm so proud of you. And one of the most, why I'm so proud of you is because you're such a beautiful mother and you're just such a lovely mum to Pia. And I couldn't be more proud. And you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. This was a tough year and how we got through it, I will never know. If you'd told me this, I would say I would never get through this.
Mm-hmm.
But we did. We got through it.
Thanks, Mum.
Love you, hon.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast. Please subscribe so you can be the first to hear about new episodes. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a review. You can check out thegoodglow.ie for more on my story and follow me on Instagram @GeorgieJCrawford.